Welcome to Idle Red Hands Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
So this week on Idle Red Hands Weekly, Twilight 2000 is confirmed. Come On is making graphic novels.
Mm-hmm.
Never Going Home physical books are on the way. New edition of 40K,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Zaz Urkola, and Nemesis Lockdown. So let's get started.
All right. I know about 50% of those.
Okay, good. Last week I mentioned that there was going to be a new version of Twilight 2000.
Okay.
And I didn't have any details, like who was producing it or anything.
That's kind of the post-apocalyptic 1980s-ish RPG.
It's like
the one where you got to like, I think I own a copy, and you have to like track absolutely everything down to the bullets in your gun.
Right. Forbidden Lands, I think, was inspired a bit by that.
Oh, really?
The survival mechanics.
Okay.
Where people, especially in the comments for our review, talked about that's, they really like the resource management of Twilight 2000, and it reminded them, you know, but it's a little bit more scaled down. No, the Forbidden Lands was like a scaled down version.
Okay. Yeah,
a little bit easier version of that, right. Because you were just doing rolls instead of actually counting bullets.
Yeah. Now, the reason I know about Twilight 2000 is I think the only official Cadillacs and Dinosaurs RPG is a hack or based on Twilight 2000. Oh. And I picked it up,
mm-hmm.
said, who wants to count bullets in a game about driving cars through herds of dinosaurs?
Right.
No.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, not quite a compatible idea, but it's coming back. So a new version of it is going to be published by Free League.
Okay.
So Free League's got a lot on their plate.
Yeah, they do.
They just got the license for the Middle Earth. They've got the Adventures and the One Ring. So yeah, they've got a lot of new stuff coming out. In partnership with Game Designers Workshop and Amargosa Press, the new edition goes back to its roots. There'll be a box set for sandbox roleplay in the devastation of World War III. So that will be on Kickstarter in August and released early 2021.
Based on the strength of the Alien RPG and Forbidden Lands, I would be willing to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
If it was, I think, anyone else, I'd be more skeptical.
Mm.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think it might be a good iteration because it's just been so long since those kind of mechanics are going to have to update. And if they go with some of the decisions and thinking that they did with Forbidden Lands, I think that might work well.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Yeah.
Yeah. In the grim dark.
You're not going to be able to say it with a straight face.
In the grim dark of the 41st millennia, there is a new edition of Warhammer.
Right. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So it's getting a little weird. So it's good. Some of the decisions they make seem good because they're not going to eliminate all the codexes.
You say that now. And I'm not saying GW is lying for that. Mm-hmm. I'm saying even if they have the best intention, if they update the rules, I'm sure some things and codexes will be different. And at what point do you then have to say, sorry, here's the new version of the codex?
Even within 8th edition, they already did that. They released a second version of the Chaos Space Marines and a second version of, you know, Adeptus Astartes. I think they're going to be doing that, but hopefully the thing that will make this a little bit easier is there is finally going to be an official app for 40K.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It might be, you know, a $10 a month subscription or something, but giving you all the rules, kind of taking it away from Battlescribe, who's been the kind of unofficial way to army build for a while. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little mixed. I'm happy that this isn't going to be another huge rules shakeup like 8th edition was, but feels like just from the rumors and things that they're going to move it closer to Age of Sigmar.
Okay.
So things that I'm not crazy about, like spells have miniatures.
Oh, yeah, the persistent miniature stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and so this persistent magic that runs around the board and stuff. So it's more miniatures to sell, more stuff to paint, more stuff to break.
Sure. From a business standpoint, why would they not make more miniatures?
Mm.
Because that's what their business is. From a consumer standpoint, I'm kind of neutral on it.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that silly, but it also kind of like, do you really need it? I don't know.
Right. Yeah, so they did a trailer. Did you see the cinematic trailer?
I did not. Mm-hmm. I kind of intended to watch it. The reason I know that there's a new 40K is the Wrath and Glory RPG. They recently released a free kind of starter adventure called Graveyard Shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? I've been interested in the 40K role-playing game for a while. Let's pick this up just to see what it's like, because I don't know if I'm $30 curious for Wrath and Glory. Not saying that's the wrong price for the game, just saying, for me, it's a bit much.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that impressed with some of the design choices for the scenario made in that Graveyard Shift.
Mm-hmm.
Went back and picked up a couple of the free Ulysses Spiel or Fantasy Flight quick starts for Rogue Trader and Dark Heresy.
Uh-huh.
And just from like scrolling on Twitter and looking, I'm like, new 40K hashtag, what's this? Oh no, a new version of the game. Right. Boy, am I glad I don't collect miniatures anymore. Yeah.
It's got a little, I don't know, 40K is getting a little bipolar, it feels like.
Okay.
Because if you look at the website, mm-hmm. a lot of the art and a lot of the graphics are very family friendly and very like, you could be a kid in grade school. If you look at the new release page, the images of the, you know, miniatures and the even the cinematic trailer are pretty dark and rough, but a lot of the illustration is very bright and happy, and it's like guys clumsily carrying piles of codexes and like, oh, isn't this
really
wacky?
Okay, I'm gonna have to go look, because I was furrowing my brow quizzically at the family friendly, thinking of like a giant Astarte space marine with a bolter that shoots rounds the size of a Coke can and saying, okay, while not gruesome, I'm gonna dispute you on the family friendly when there's a big honking gun.
Well,
prominently.
You've got to see, it's, I kind of started with 8th edition, the artist that they're using now to do a lot of the artwork, and especially when they're talking about, you know, support your local store, you know, are they open, here's the new rules during the lockdown, it's very cutesy. It's you know, it's a little Tumblr deviant art.
So the skulls are smiling?
Yeah, no, seriously, it's like the Space Marines look like they're smiling in their helmets.
I'm trying to process that, smiling inside their helmets. I'm like, how would you know? Okay, I'm going to have to go look at this.
It really is. And it's kind of bright. It's like kind of pastel color and bright. And it's just kind of thin artwork. It's, you know, kind of that Asian inspired cartooning that a lot of people do, where it's like halfway to anime and halfway to Cartoon Network. So they have a lot of that and intermixed with their kind of classic look. And so it's feeling a little strange because, you know, they started that Warhammer Adventures kind of kids book series.
Oh, right. Which is real weird, because how are you going to do a Necron harvesting that's kid friendly? Right. I don't know. That's just wrong.
And I heard they also killed a main character already in those books. So you're it's a little odd. And I don't know how I feel about that. And now that, like you mentioned Wrath and Glory, and I listened to someone do a review of Wrath and Glory and said that they like the setting and this is very interesting science fiction, but why is there like all this genocide? I can't get on board with that. It's like
mixed feelings on that too.
Well, but it's not really genocide. It's like eliminating another species. It's like, you know,
which
total
is genocide.
No, but it's like, you know, keeping raccoons out of your garbage can is not genocide.
No, it is if you then like declare all raccoons everywhere an anathema to the emperor and go on like a holy war to exterminate all raccoons from the universe. I think that counts as genocide. Going back to when you lent me the Sisters of Battle book, great artwork and interesting to see. I said something on Twitter and then had to lock down my account because I got bombarded with like a whole bunch of like 40K trolls pointing. And what I did is I said 40K is problematic because kind of the base assumption is the good guys, and I don't think you can say the Imperium is anything but the good guys based on how prominently they are displayed as the core faction, are eugenicists who basically go on religious genocide. And those are the good guys.
Right, right.
And I got basically bombarded telling me that I'd missed the point of 40K and that new people to the hobby were ruining it. And I said, everyone needs to shut the fuck up, because I've been into this since like the 90s. Like, I started with the original like Rogue Trader book. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's beside the point. I think it's possible to enjoy media that is problematic, provided you are still critical of it. And you kind of have to be critical of the media you consume, more so than the stuff you don't. So I'm kind of torn from liking the 40K setting, but also realizing that it's real problematic. And how do you do 40K without the genocide and bigotry and stuff like that? You can't.
Right.
I would argue. But that also means you don't have to focus on the absolutely dark stuff if you're playing a game.
Right. And I think the setting, especially with like if you played Rogue Trader or some group of characters where you're kind of outliers.
Right.
You're not on a mission for the Emperor. You're not Inquisitors. You're playing kind of separately. You are just fucked and stuck in the situation where nothing, you know, where you're kind of opposed ideologically to everything and you are just fucked because everything's working against you.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the inspiration for 40K, I think it's good grim, dark escapism, and there doesn't need to be another iteration. There doesn't need to be a kind of
family-friendly version.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be made more mild, because the inspiration is, you know, the Roman Empire, the Crusades, the Christian Crusades in the Middle East, and that's ugly stuff. And kind of confronting that ugliness and realizing that that's basically all part of every aspect of human history is, I think, a good way to kind of have things in your head. You don't have to be good. You don't have to, you know, be playing something that is morally acceptable because this is escapism and it's just kind of messing around. That's why there's, you know, chaotic evil in D&D. So you can do things that you wouldn't do as a regular person, and not because you're, you know, trying to get out your inner, you know, your inner murderer or your inner racist or whatever, but you're, you know, just trying to I don't know, come to terms with some difficult stuff. I mean, I think 11th hour or the, you know, the 5 minutes to midnight of 40K is great because you're all fucked and you're all going to die. So, you know, at the end of the...
And they've been saying that for like, what, 41,000 years.
They're on the ninth edition, yeah. So I don't know how close we are.
But I agree with you on a couple points. How I think the difference for me is I'm pretty sure 40K started as satire. Mm-hmm. You had your two factions that were extreme law and extreme order, and look how ridiculous both of these things are.
Right.
And I think some of that's kind of been lost, maybe not on the company side or the developer side, but definitely on the fan side, where it's like you're kind of missing the point that this is supposed to be satire. I guess in response to being able to explore those themes in a game, you absolutely can. There's nothing inside the game setting that points out these things as being morally wrong, which I think is where you occasionally run into trouble. You know, like if the players are, I'm going to say, mature enough to realize, wow, this is really bad and we're going to explore this, and we as people outside the game know how wrong this is and are going to look at a game that explores that, fine. But some people, I think, don't have the maturity to realize that, and there's nothing inside the game that says, you're bad.
No, I think that's very true. And yeah, getting ideologically behind a lot of the things that are going on and using that to kind of reinforce your own like weird political views is a little scary. But you know, I think that's true. That definitely 40K lost its sense of humor and maybe, or sense of parody, sense of satire. Mm. Maybe they're trying to bring some of that back, and it does feel like then all the lore that's been established and everything, then you're kind of making fun of it. Because I think that the lore is a huge part of that game and how deep and rich and just messed up it is. Like, you know, these really unbelievable, yeah, kind of horrific.
I agree. Yeah. And reading the Sisters of the New Sisters of Battle Codex, which is great, although it's written straight, meaning not obviously or not explicitly or over the top satire, I don't know if there's any way to read 40K lore when you have a faction that literally drops cathedrals onto the battlefield as part of their defense. I mean, you are airdropping a church onto the battlefield. And even though the section is written as like kind of matter of fact, it's so over the top. I think sometimes you can't look at it as anything but satire.
Mm-hmm. There seems to be a weird tendency, like Star Wars is doing this. And, you know, and I think it's just probably has to do with the popularity and success of young adult fiction. Is they are kind of aging down and dumbing down. Comic books did it to kind of age down characters, put them in high school, and give a new audience access to it. But I've always thought that these things that have been established, like Dungeons and Dragons or 40K, it's that thing you aspire to when you're younger. That's what the adults are playing. That's what the big kids are playing. And that's the attraction of it. And so to have this weird kind of watered down entry point to it, I mean, maybe it's going to sell books or maybe something, but I don't think it's going to create future fans because they're going to like, well, where's all the skulls? Where's the real metal part of this game?
I guess so. But I think it's funny because my kid, who is now 3, is oftentimes saying she wants to be an adult because then no one will tell her what to do, which is hilarious. And I'm like, yeah, that's wrong. But don't you think that most hobbies or other forms of media have to do that? Because it's not as if people live forever. And the things that we currently enjoy now will continue to exist. I mean, our childhoods aren't being erased, you know, by all this new stuff coming out. New hobbies and stuff or existing hobbies have to be made accessible to that new generations of fans. Otherwise, there isn't going to be one.
I don't think I agree with that. I think people will find that stuff out. Like if there is, I mean, because you have to admit that some stuff gets obsolete, some stuff doesn't resonate anymore, and it's just going to go away. Like I think Star Wars, but I think if it just kind of holds its ground, you know, a new audience will find it. But I guess shareholders and stock prices don't necessarily agree with that, and they want to see growth and they want to see sales. So going after different markets, you know, I think is why people are doing it. But yeah, I would much rather see things stick with their original thinking and not say, oh, well, we've got to start courting something that we're not. And I think that's why you're getting people that are frustrated in the hobby, like people that all these new people in 40K are screwing with it.
Oh, they're just grognards who want things to stay there.
Right. But I think that's a company, that's a stupid thing for a company to do because that, and that's seems to be a real current trend, because if you're going to chase away the people that are actually have some dedication to it, even though they're gatekeepy and, right. you know, it tend to, you know, make some. So that was a big thing for me very early on with 40K, is there were a lot of people just trying to keep you out of the hobby.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It just felt like, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about yet. So fuck off. Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. I think maybe there's two, not ways of looking at it, but two things happening here from a company standpoint. Mm-hmm. And as you said, shareholders and publicly traded company stuff want to see that growth. And mm-hmm. so I think the companies have to do something to attract new fans right. as well as retain old ones. And if they just kind of keep doing the same thing, I don't think anyone's going to be happy.
Right, right.
From a consumer standpoint, the gatekeeper thing, wow, that's just, I think that's people tying their identity too close to something mm-hmm. they consume rather than being an actual person. And it happens in all fandoms, but it's just so much better to say, oh, you're getting into this thing too, I like it too, instead of saying you're ruining the hobby or whatever. Just saying, let me show you what it was or what I grew up into, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. don't really like this new stuff, but it's just so much better to let new people in mm-hmm. than to cling to whatever scraps of the hobby oh, yeah. you loved and resent change.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think, too, that naturally the creative people that are working on it are going to evolve it, whether they even realize it or not. Because
they're
going to
be different people.
Yeah, their perspective and everything. I mean, if you've got a bunch of 20-year-olds that are writing 40K now, it's definitely going to have a different perspective. Right. And the people that, you know, are in their 60s now that were originally working on it are not going to be able to really talk to a current audience.
I'm trying to stifle my laughter because I'm imagining that Eisenhorn Inquisitor character walking around with, like, a geriatric walker now. That's what it all is. It's just aged space marines that are like 500 years old right. complaining about all the aches and pains and cybernetic limbs they've had to replace so they can get out of their whatever coffins. Yeah.
So we got a new edition of 40K, and I'm a little disappointed. I guess this is about the standard length of time, like 3 years is about how long an edition lasts. But it seems like they're cutting off the Dark Imperium, like the Plague Wars book and the kind of the lore for that. So it was kind of Ultramarines versus Nurgle versus Death Guard, and that's kind of not really continuing. They've kind of cut that short, and so I really enjoyed that storyline. I like that they chose that setting or those forces, and now they're just going to dump it, and it's Necrons is going to be the starter set. So they're
two kings in space.
Yeah, right. So the Silent King returns, and it's the Imperium's job to shoot him full of holes.
I've often wondered, and I know we've talked about 40K for a while, but I've often wondered how they decide which kind of factions are going to be in like their new flagship product. I'm sure it is tied into production rather right. than we have not represented this faction much lately.
Yeah, I wonder. There's got to be a lot of planning and thinking on that, because they have to, you know, if they're refreshing models, you know, there's sculpts that have to be done. It's like, are these still okay? The ones from the 90s are still good, right? Yeah, balancing that game has got to be a nightmare. So that is happening, and I didn't expect us to talk about it so long.
Neither did I.
During this break, I've been taking a look at a lot of stuff on DriveThruRPG, and something that I ran into that really... I haven't completely gotten through it, but the system was really intriguing to me, and it was very dark. It's a very nasty setting. So I'll read a little bit of the kind of the setup for it. And it's a tricky one to pronounce, and the logo itself is very metal. It looks like some kid drew it on his notebook in the 70s. Okay. But Zaz Urkola by James Vale and Atramentus Games. So this was originally kickstarted in 2017, and it's a very dark fantasy. I mean, it has, in the more modern context, it feels very Dark Souls, like the game. Okay. So you're just kind of this soul that is in this place, and you don't know what's going on. You're kind of like regaining memory, regaining a place in the world. Suffer a blackened birth into a desolate land of surreal horror, a world wounded by psychic warfare, mind control cities, interdimensional labyrinths, and wasteland tribes. You are an alien here, the last survivor of your species. Your existence must be earned.
That sounds happy.
So it's pretty intense. And the thing that it starts out, the book itself starts out with a huge piece of fiction that is giving you the setting. But then when you get to the system, you're like, okay, wait a minute. There is something here. They break up the system into a few different things. And so the strain system is what they call it. Okay. So the strain system
has been
around for a while. So this is nothing new, but it sounded really intriguing. So it's D10s. Mm-hmm. It's a system that blends narrative storytelling and combat simulation. Right. So they have two kind of different things. So the primary mechanics in the game are doom and stress. So players press their luck to succeed at actions, but risk gaining stress and then doom. So doom is the character's kind of internal death clock.
Okay.
So you have from 0 to 9 stress. Any points over 9 stress contributes to your doom. So you're constantly rolling against that every point you go over adds 5 points to Doom. And Doom is basically a percentage of a chance that what you fail at doing is going to kill you.
Interesting. Okay.
So it feels a little bit like Powered by the Apocalypse, you know, D10 version, but it's constantly changing, like your odds, and you can do things to reduce your stress, hopefully not eliminate Doom. But they also then have a mechanic where if your character is killed, you lose all of your already spent XP, but the XP you haven't spent is inhabited in the new character. So you can kind of keep rolling.
Interesting. Do you think that encourages people to not spend XP? Or is there a nice tension between wanting these sort of, I guess, upgrades, for lack of a better term, that increase your chances of survival versus holding on to XP in the case you die?
I think it might be, you might be making a decision based on how successful or happy you are with this character's life, and just being, I'm going to go a different route. Like, this character is not going to make it. I'm not functioning well. And if you die, then stop kind of dedicating XP and then try again with like a fightier or a more clever.
Interesting. I hadn't considered that you might want to like off your character.
Yeah, just kind of let
to transfer that XP to someone else. Yeah, is that part of the fiction or the setting? Like,
in a very loose way, maybe, because these are just beings that are just thrown here to survive, and so you're maybe for the player, you are thinking about, well, what would be the most successful version of a character to survive this, and that's why it felt a little video gamey.
Okay,
little Dark Souls, because that it has classes and things that may be geared towards different successes in different ways. But I think that's definitely worth taking a look at. I'll put a link to it. There are no physical books anymore; those all sold out after the Kickstarter, and nobody carries anything. But there is a PDF.
Oh, then you could maybe print on demand or something.
Right. And it's got some nice artwork, nice gruesome artwork. And I think so there's a lot of, like, if you wanted a really dark kind of lost experience that, your character is going to die. Like, there's kind of this built-in countdown to something killing you. The inspirations for the game were Cormac McCarthy's The Road.
Oof. All right. Never mind. Lost interest. Yeah. Okay.
Satanic black metal, ancient Mesopotamia, things like Tolkien, Lovecraft, and Martin's influence. But so it's basically a survival horror RPG. So it might be fun for a one shot to see how dark things can get.
Depending on how much of the road it's based on, it's not survival horror. It's just survival depression. It's
Right. A couple things on Kickstarter. One thing that maybe is a little surprising and just a little weird is Come On and Guillotine Games, like in cooperation with Guillotine Games, is producing graphic novels.
Okay.
So if you ever wanted to know all the exciting backstory on those poorly
not miniatures.
Right. Yeah. Just like those characters that are just parodies of existing pop culture icons just thrown onto so they're writing graphic novels. And they're doing it in kind of the French, like the bande dessinée style. Okay. So they're the hardback, full color. Okay. So they'll be really nice additions. And the one thing you can't take away from Come On is they employ very good designers and very good artists. Their business practices aren't particularly wonderful, but the talent that they employ is good. So the art is going to be good. In these books, I just don't know how interesting it is.
Right.
And they're kind of tapping into the completionist fans, because they're also including exclusive miniatures in this Kickstarter that you can't get unless you order the books.
Again, business standpoint, that's just smart. Consumer standpoint, why?
Right. So we'll see. Yeah. So I'm not incredibly excited about it, because it's Zombicide, Cthulhu Death May Die, and the sci-fi version of Zombicide that they're doing this original round of. It's nothing very exciting, but if you play any of those games and you want every single
you must have the stuff. Yeah.
Then you got to buy the books. So we'll see. I mean, I'm sure the artwork is going to be great, but who knows what the writing's going to be like, especially if it was like translated from French or whatever.
Well, if they have good artists and designers, maybe they have good writers too.
We'll see. But something a little bit more interesting was Nemesis Lockdown. So the game kind of, basically Aliens, the generic version of Aliens, coming back with a expansion, but it's a standalone expansion. So you can play it completely by itself.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Or you can kind of mix it in. And they said just about all content from previous expansions and the core version of Nemesis can be incorporated into this new version of the game. more survival horror, but it's sci-fi this time. And so 1 to 5 players, co-op game. So they do great minis, and they also do that sun drop or the kind of directionally spray them if you don't want to paint them.
Okay.
They'll kind of give them a little tint for you if you want to play right out of the box and don't want to ever paint anything. So that Kickstarter is live, and it's, I hope that the choice of name, it happened a long time ago.
Yeah. I was thinking that too.
And that this just wasn't inspired.
Just kind of unfortunate.
But, So Nemesis Lockdown is now on Kickstarter.
Well, on the survival horror aspect, possibly sci-fi too, I'm currently trying to work on a RPG submission for The Wretched Jam.
Oh.
which the Wretched and Alone game jam, which is up on itch.io. Mm-hmm. It's hosted by Chris Bissette and Matt Sanders. Chris Bissette wrote a game called The Wretched, and it's a solo journaling TTRPG, so in my wheelhouse, mm-hmm. that uses a deck of cards and a tumbling block tower. Ooh. And basically, it's Alien after Ripley ejects the alien from the life pod.
Oh, wow.
You're on a ship. It's damaged. You're the last surviving crew member, and there's something outside trying to get in.
Oh, cool.
So what you do is you're drawing cards from a deck, which give you writing prompts, and then also drawing or pulling blocks from the tower. Mm-hmm. If the tower falls, your ship collapses because it suffered too much damage. Uh-huh. There's also a big fail state about the whatever's outside getting in, and if that happens, game over. You're dead. Mm. So you're encouraged to record either... they say audio log, because the idea is someone is going to pick up this log, and you're like, you start it by saying, you know, this is flight engineer, whatever, day, whatever, mm-hmm. last surviving member of whatever. Okay. And you kind of do that every day. Mm-hmm. And it's inspired a lot of other games, all with a fairly high chance of failure, because the game is about sort of a little bit of horror, isolation, but also perseverance in situations where you have a very low chance of survival. Doesn't always have to be death, because a bunch of the games submitted to this game jam don't necessarily mean you die. It just means things didn't go as you intended them to go. Mm. So I think there's something like 20 games that have been submitted to it now. Oh, wow. Everything from like a bad life coach guru to like being adrift on a ship with sharks circling the water to like exploring dungeons and all that kind of stuff. So it's a pretty wide theme.
Right.
And I'm working hard on a submission. Don't know if I'm going to finish it, because submissions have to be in by June 13th. So there's still about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Can you guess what I'm doing?
80s slasher? No.
Close. Uh-huh. I was thinking about doing other stuff, and for some reason, the Brides of Dracula popped into my head, and I was like, I would not have run out of the castle if those brides were there. And I'm like, but I could totally make a game about it.
Right.
So you're essentially going to be Jonathan Harker in Castle Dracula trying to get out.
Nice. Oh, cool. Oh, wow. Well, definitely. Even if you don't make the gem, we want to take a look at that. Oh, that's very cool.
I've put up some pages on Twitter, and I'm using those design cuts deals. Okay. Font and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, excellent.
It's a game that has inspired a lot of, not derivatives, but like hacks. Mm-hmm. And it's fairly easy to do. So if you want to, I'd say join that jam.
Nice. So. Okay. Yeah, we'll put a link to that so people can take a look at that. Excellent. Real quick, the last thing that I mentioned is, so physical books from the World War One, kind of the Eldritch World War One. It's Alternative Occult Great War. Those books are coming. So Never Going Home by Wet Ink Games. I'm curious, because these are the print-on-demand from DriveThruRPG, and I'm curious about how the quality is compared to the Kickstarter. So I'll probably try to ask people that I know that have that.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
What the quality is like. Yeah, so something I'd definitely like to try out at the table, at least in a one-shot, and then do a quick review of the games. And I was really happy. The shipping is incredibly affordable from DriveThruRPG to Japan, which is rare, because it's getting worse and worse everywhere. Yeah.
Books I've ordered for print-on-demand from DriveThruRPG, recent ones were Ironsworn and Ironsworn Delve, and the quality of those is real good.
Oh, good.
So, but they're only black and white.
Right, so. Right. We'll take a look. Yeah, and this has got great art in it, and it's kind of inspired by the artwork the setting was. So we will take a look. So where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always, unless and until an executive order gets signed and that platform disappears. That's Hivemind, HYVEMYND. Just look for the pinned tweet that's like a big red cover that says Castle Dracula.
Excellent. And I do a weekly single panel gag cartoon. You can find that on both Twitch and YouTube. AbuseCartoons.com is the website. And if you want to read the archive of those cartoons, it's gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And that's all for this week. So if you'd like to find Idle Red Hands, you can subscribe to the podcast at idleredhands.com. Follow us on Twitter at Idle Red Hands. And if you want to get involved and support what we're doing and see more of it, visit patreon.com/idleredhands. That's all for this week. We'll be back again.
Later, mortals.
Bye.
of a car on my over.